There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours, and we have lots to talk about on today's show. I do want to set this up, though, and let you know that coming up in just a little bit, Rob Holbert will join us this hour with Lanyap, and we can get your questions into him. We're going to bounce around the subject. Of course, we talked about this morning with the removal of the Admiral Sim statue, and we'll give you the latest on that. Also coming up in the second hour, defunding the police, right? That's that move I've been asking about for a week. What cities actually want to do this? We'll get into that. And in a second, we'll check in with Josh Woods out at the grounds as they have fair food in a drive-up serving. We'll get him to explain a little more in just a second. I do want to check in with our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, as we look forward at the weekend and get the latest on Cristobal. Dr. Bill, good afternoon. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, Sean, Cristobal is still over land, over the Yucatan Peninsula, but it is now picking up a little forward speed to the north, about 12 miles per hour. And it's going to get out over the southern Gulf late today or this evening, and then begin a long track to the north that'll take it up to the Gulf Coast Sunday night and early Monday morning. It looks like it will remain a depression for a while across the southern Gulf, and then it will build up to a tropical storm when it gets into the northern Gulf on Sunday. And it looks now like the top speed or peak wind when it arrives on the Gulf Coast will be around 60 miles per hour. And the likely target right now is the central coast of Louisiana, or possibly toward the western coastal area, so anywhere from Morgan City westward to near Lake Charles will be a likely location for landfall. This will be a rain event for many areas, and particularly our location. The eastern side is usually the very wet side, a lot of rain belts, and showers and thunderstorms. So we can expect most of that activity to get here on Sunday. Start to see the showers moving in from the Gulf, and Sunday night and through Monday, and even Tuesday, even after the center of the storm moves inland over Louisiana and then up into Arkansas, we'll still get a southerly flow of very moist air coming into our area. So we're going to pile up some rain beginning Saturday night and through, let's call it the morning of Monday. We'll see in the neighborhood of 3 to 4 inches of rain. And then after that, the rest of Monday and Tuesday, we might pick up another inch or two. So overall, we'll see 4 to 6 inches of rain in our area. And there could be more than that. But it'd be a good soaker, and it will get us back up close to, if not ahead of, the normal total for the year.
But not without those flash flooding risk.
Yes. The showers and thunderstorms are moving in off the Gulf will produce some very heavy downpours, a lot of rain in a short period of time, and that's the situation for flash flooding. In the coastal area, we will see an increase in water levels, particularly Sunday, and we may see a rise of 1 to 2 feet along the coast and some minor flooding. But all of the real strong winds will be out over in Louisiana, although in the coastal areas of Alabama and Mississippi, we will see some gusts possibly out over the water that could reach 40 miles per hour or gale force. But in the immediate Mobile area, mainly winds of 20 to 30 miles per hour and a few higher gusts is basically what we will see. There's always the possibility that in a thunderstorm that some of those winds could be stronger than that.
All right. We're glad you're watching it for us. And once again, the timeline, starting to get a taste of it tomorrow night. But really, this is a Sunday, Monday kind of thing.
Yeah, we'll see some scattered showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. It looks like it'll be okay in the morning, but then we'll see the showers and the thunderstorms the afternoon. They'll become more numerous Saturday night. And then Sunday, we'll see those showers and thunderstorms coming in off the Gulf as the storm gets closer and closer to Louisiana.
All right. Well, there it is. We're going to at least, hey, the silver lining is we're going to make up that that drought. We're going to get rid of the drought. We're going to move on to a surplus, and we're just going to do it in tropical fashion. Dr. Bill, we appreciate the update. We'll be checking back with you.
Okay, Sean.
All right. There's our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, and a tropical weather expert, keeping his eyes on the hurricanes, tropical storms, the waves, all that, all hurricane season long, and it's a real good deal to have him on standby call during hurricane season, the best. All right, and I want to mention this because we talked about it earlier this week. Josh Woods from the grounds had joined me, and we were talking about this fair food event happening today out of the grounds, a drive-up or drive-in fair food. Josh, how do you, what's the term here?
Yeah, so we're calling it a fair food drive-in.
Okay.
Trying to keep it simple.
Well, that's what I need. That's how I need it. So explain to folks what's happening right now out of the grounds.
Yeah, so I'm actually out here. We're in line to get our corn dog.
Of course,
waiting to take a big bite out of it.
You came in here the other day with a corn dog hat on, so I knew that would be number one on your list. So, okay, somebody listening right now, they're going to run out for lunch. They're going out for lunch, yeah, for themselves or for the office. Talk about where to turn in. What do we do here?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, just come on out to the grounds out here on the West Mobile. Obviously, everybody knows where that is. That's where the fair happens.
That's right.
Come in off of Cody, come in off of Ziegler, either of those entrances, and park in our big parking lot that's directly in front of the building. And then in our smaller parking lot, which is behind the grandstand, that's where we have all the fair food booths set up. We got everything from funnel cakes, corn dogs, ice cream, slushies, to buckets of fries. So definitely a great place to come grab lunch today.
All right. So y'all here, and you're going to go till, you said, probably, what, 6-ish this evening or later?
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll probably be up in, you know, just really until the crowd stops, you know, whether that's 9 p.m. or 2 a.m., we'll be open. But, you know, we're kind of just telling people that got it to, you know, look to about 9 or 10 o'clock. We'll take a look and see what the crowd looks like, and we'll get everybody fed before we close, eh?
All right, so good deal. So if y'all get it for lunch or you want to get it for dinner for the family, that's kind of fun on a Friday. Show up with the fair food. This is the fair food we love when we come out to the fair proper. It's just happening right now in June.
Definitely. And we'll be running from the day. Every day at noon we open, run until, and then we'll run from today all the way through June 14th. So you got plenty of time to make multiple trips out here.
Okay. Go ahead and bank on CNB in just a little bit.
For sure. We'll see you then.
All right. Josh Woods, Executive Director out of the grounds, and it's fair food. Like you heard it, it's happening right now. I mean, it's chicken on a stick, it's corn dogs, it's funnel cakes, it's all that good stuff, and it's waiting for you right now. So make your lunch stop there. It also helps out the JCs and the work they do with the fair and the vendors out there as well. So y'all go load up. I think we have at least one, if not more, employees from the radio station right now that are en route or already there picking up fair food. So we're fired up about that. All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Nice touch there. Some RL on a Friday. I like it. All right, 1217 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Say hello to my buddy Rob Holbert with Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. And Rob, I want to start off with this question here as it pertains to the removal of the statue of Admiral Sims. Where, with all your sources, all your time, all your investigative reporting, where's the statue now? Where do you believe the statue is?
I believe the statue is in Sandy's backyard right now.
Do you think it is in the mayor's back, his personal home's
possibly,
backyard?
Possibly. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I think it is. Why not? The grandkids can play with it. It's nice.
Yeah, so Tony says, I'd love to have that statue of Admiral Sims in my backyard. It would look cool out there as a decorative piece. Yeah. But the city has now said, we read through this morning, but also, I mean, some updates here. But basically, it's been removed but not gone. I mean, when you, and I'm paraphrasing here, obviously, what the mayor said, but what do you take from that? Is it, I mean, how do you go and put it back up? I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, I don't know. We're kind of hearing mixed things about that. I know some of our reporters are kind of trying to nail that down. But, yeah, I think it's hard to put it back up in that place. So I don't know what that means. It maybe means that, hey, it's going to go to a different spot, a private property, something like that that's been done in the past or, you know, in other places. Over in Baldwin County, for example, there's other places where they put statues. So maybe that's what it means. We don't know exactly at this point.
And one thing I was digging on, and maybe you have some better insight here, the property, I know this, the property there where the pedestal is City of Mobile property, but was the statue City of Mobile property? I know that somebody was saying, I guess, Sons and Daughters of Confederate Veterans or what, or a group had paid to do some refurbishing, I don't know, a decade ago or more. I don't know if that's because they owned it.
I think it's City of Mobile property. Okay. I believe it is. I think that those things are, I think it was donated to the city, so I think it is city property.
Okay.
But I don't know that for sure, but I think that's the case.
Now, I've also gotten a lot of questions this morning. People say, well, we have the law, the Monuments Law, and that was passed in 2017, and that is true, but you've already seen earlier this week, Mayor Woodfin basically has said, we're going to do this. The Attorney General came out and said, well, you're going to pay $25,000, and I don't see that there's anything else going to be done. Is that the way you're seeing it?
I mean, that seems
you get sued
at this point.
You get sued, you pay up, right? I mean, yeah.
That seems to be the precedent at this point, that, you know, if you want to remove one of these statues, then, then it's going to cost you $25,000 to do so. It's a difficult situation, obviously, if you have people who are claiming that they're going to come down and destroy the statue, pull it down, that kind of thing. Whether that actually would happen or not, we don't know, but it's probably seemed likely that seemed likely there would be something that happened. I'm a fan of the city voting on some things like that. I guess it's a controversial issue, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who feel like the statue shouldn't have been removed. It should have been discussed, I think. But I also see the mayor's point of view that, hey, you know, if we can move this and keep it from being damaged and also keep there from being an act of civil disobedience at this point and possibly that would damage other things around it and lead to worse things. So I can get that. I can get why he's doing it, but I still kind of think it feels a lot like mob rule to me. It still feels that way.
Well, okay, there's right. That is a good touchstone on this, because you could say pragmatically exactly that hey, why have this up right now when there's a group saying they're going to try to get down there and topple it, and then we'd have to have police involved and Lord knows what could happen. And that's what some of these outside groups want. They want the clashes with police. They want to have video of that. They want these issues. On the flip side, you remove it, and it's exactly what you just said. I mean, and you can look at the social media. You don't have to dig too far in there to see people and on our website and everything saying the mayor buckled to pressure, mob rule, Mayor Simpson, just did what the mob wanted him to do.
Yeah, and I guess, you could also, I guess at some point, maybe the mayor can look at it and say, okay, we took it down because there was about to be an incident. And now let's have a discussion with city council about whether we will put it back or not. And, I think that might alleviate some of that. There are other Confederate memorials in town. And, the irony of this whole thing is that they're meeting in Ryan Park.
Father Ryan Park,
Where there's a big statue of Father Ryan, who is the Confederate poet priest of the Confederacy, so... that's a Confederate statue, and I would argue probably a more Confederate statue than a Raphael Sims, to a degree, because just that I mean, it really is based on his poetry about the Confederacy.
Hey, you make a point. I had talked about that this morning in that statue as well. But people have been asking, you know, well, what's next, what's next, what's next? And before when we even start this, somebody will say, you're giving people an idea. They can Google this. So, heck, AL.com put out a list. So, but if we go around the city of Mobile, let alone the greater southwest Alabama area, right. Yeah, the Admiral Sims statue is not the only one. You talk about Father Ryan. What about the cemetery? You know, what about Confederate Grant? I mean, I'm not asking this. I'm not being hyperbolic. I am asking, where does it end?
Well, where? What about Oakley?
Yeah,
The Oakley Manor, Oakley Mansion.
What about the fact that antebellum homes are, you know, a big part of our city in the Guard District in downtown?
Yeah, I mean, that part I can say, hey, they're privately owned, but it, certainly there's still arguments to be made that, you know, city owned property that is a Confederate memorial, Confederate museum. That was a Confederate hospital in the case of Oakley. That I don't, you know, I get the point, and I really do get the point that, I mean, I can understand why people don't want to see those things and why they feel like they should be taken down. I get that point. I just think we ought to go through a process of doing it that doesn't involve people saying, hey, I'm going to come tear it down, so you better do it. And if, you know, I know the mayor's in a bad position. I know the city's in a bad position with this because it can turn into something that is violent. It can turn into something where people get hurt, and I see that. So I'm split. I'm of two minds of it, but I still just don't love the concept of mob rule in terms of just saying, "Hey, we're going to do this," and if nobody likes it, then, you know, we're just going to come down here and tear it down. And that's it.
You know, we talk about the process on this, and Councilman John Williams called in the 8 o'clock hour and said that he hadn't heard anything about it before the decision, and he didn't think anybody else in the council. I don't think he can speak for all of them, but he didn't think anybody else in the council, because that was one of the ideas is, why wouldn't you have, and he said that they could have gotten and met this morning to do this, that the council could have voted on it. I think, number one, you could say, well, that's shifting your responsibility, but maybe not. That's a representation from all seven districts of the city, and you put people on the record vote.
I guess in some ways, city council people probably ought to be thankful.
Yes.
They didn't have to make this decision and be yelled at by two different sides of the debate, but... it would be, I think it would make the most sense to have a discussion with city council, even if it's not an official vote, even if it's not a something where we say we need the vote to do this, but it does seem more representative of the city to at least sit down with everybody and say, we're thinking of doing this.
You know, maybe it's the statue versus the name, because people are lighting me up here on the text line about renaming all the, what are we going to rename? You know, I've talked about the Sims thing in the morning, but I don't know if it's actually the name doesn't mean as much as a physical structure, because if we want to, and I'm not the only one saying this either, but wouldn't the George Wallace Tunnel be lower hanging fruit than the, in modern times than the Admiral Sims statue?
Well, you would think, and I mean, as you pointed out this morning, you know, that protesters marched right by the statue on Sunday and nobody said anything about it. This has not been a statue that has been, a hot point for much time. You know, a week ago, nobody was gathering around it and wanting to tear it down, and now it's, some of it has the feel of theater to it for me.
And with that, this group, the mob is, I don't know how big, right? We have this question of how many people are from outside the area coming in, and maybe the fact that on that flyer they called it the statue of Ralph Sims, maybe weren't from around here. I mean, I wonder, is this the voice of, who is the voice behind this? Who are the people that have said, you got to remove it? I mean, if it's somebody coming in from elsewhere, have we given it time to have the opinion truly of people that are in Mobile?
Yeah, that is a big issue, and it, all this stuff is hard because it's happening so quickly, and Mobile has been blessed in many ways. I mean, number one, and I want to give credit to the people who put the protest together last week, they did a great job of keeping it from becoming, you know, a looting and violence and all those other things that have happened in so many other cities. And so, you know, that we've been blessed in that regard to not have that kind of stuff. And I know that's a big part of what the mayor and the, and you know, the police chief and Jim Barber want to avoid. And I know they're trying to avoid that part. And so I get that part. It is just, again, if somebody, I mean, if they say tomorrow the group says, okay, well, guess what? We're going to tear down the Father Ryan statue. Is that going to get plunked up in the middle of the night too?
Well, and the question legally, and you know, Jason's story over at LandNetMobile.com, Jason Johnson says, Mobile Mayor says the removal of Confederate statue consistent with state law. Having trouble understanding that, since it's no different than what happened in Birmingham. The AG said that it was contrary.
I guess it's, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're reading it as, well, now the state law is it's illegal unless you want to pay $25,000.
Gotcha.
I guess it's sort of like I can, you know, if you just tell me what the fine is, I can speed all the way through your town. I don't know how it's consistent.
I can legally park. If I'm ready to pay the parking ticket, here's the money. I'm going to park right there.
Yeah, and that law was put in place to keep Confederate statues in place.
Absolutely.
It was. So, you know, there's certainly that concept of whether, you know, is that the will of the people in certain areas as well? You know, do they want to have their statues up? I mean, I think we haven't really had that debate in Mobile. They've had that debate in Birmingham, and I think the majority of people in Birmingham didn't want the statue up any longer, but they were kind of forced to keep it there. And, you know, that's the thing to me, is that we didn't have that debate in Mobile. We haven't had that discussion. And hopefully we'll have the discussion after this, after the stuff is, you know, after all the...
Well, after the statue's been
gone, and we can say, hey, what are we doing with the pedestal now? And, you know, is the statue of Sean Sullivan going to fit there, or... Are we going back with Ralph Sims?
Good questions. Rob, man, have a great weekend. Folks, LandNetMobile.com. Check out the latest on this. Thanks. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys.
All right, be good. All right, coming right back. We'll grab your phone calls next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Call 35 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Hey, by the way, Mark Holliday had called me earlier and works with us here. He's heading into Florida, and he was said, "Hey, you know that the checkpoint thingy there going into Florida is gone." I see other people on the text line talking about it too. Yeah, that it is gone. For what that's worth. So now you could not be questioned if you're from Louisiana, if you're rolling on into the state of Florida. So I guess that means COVID-19, everything's fine? Everything's good? We're good? Okay. You know, and other people have a lot of text here, and I want your phone calls, too, at 343-0106, suggesting moving the statue to Josephine. Of course, Josephine, Alabama, down there in south Baldwin County, the original home, the homestead, the farm for Raphael Sims when they moved the family from, I think it's Maryland, to Alabama. Let's see. Daryl says, okay, it's not like the current location. So he's talking about the pedestal there, right? Right there at the foot of Government Street. It's not like the current location was conducive to foot traffic, and if you drove past, you could not read the historical marker. So he said maybe if I'm for moving the statue because it was largely hidden where the current location was, moving to another location where it could be more easily visited and seen would actually be a good thing. I don't think they're going to put it back up. I don't think they're going to put it back up. What is this? Donnie and Lillian. All right, let's see here. Donnie says, it says a lot here. Let's go to the last text here. Rob says, I can understand why someone doesn't want to look at these statues. And then there's like questions and exclamation points. Get over it. Uh-huh. There have been statues of Nero in Rome for centuries, and he was one of the worst villains in history. Americans have become too soft and weak. I can't believe you agreed with liberal Rob. Liberal Rob. Oh, and then he says, what happened to your huevos? Talk about my stones, buddy. You want to come check them? Come on. You want me to take a picture of them? I'll text it to you. They're right there. Wouldn't I agree with? I agreed that there were some people that didn't want to look at the statues. You think I'm wrong, Donnie? You think there's people that want to look? You don't think there's anybody out there that doesn't want to look at the statue? Donnie, by the way, I'm the guy that's been asking the questions about why we removed them. But, you know, I'm sorry that I don't just have one lane, one rut I stay in thinking, and I don't ask questions. Sorry about that. Believe me, I'm not going to change anytime soon on that. I agreed with Rob in the fact that, yes, I believe there are people who don't want to look at those statues. That doesn't mean I'm for removing the statue. But I can believe, yes, I can believe, Donnie, there are people that don't want to look at the statues. All right, let's see. Somebody said, you can hide the statue where no one will find it. Put it in Gulf Quest. Okay, this question. Now, Bill asked this question. Several people asked this question this morning. If the Admiral statue is considered offensive, shouldn't the slave ship, he means the Clotilda, a direct symbol of slavery, be considered offensive as well? Good question, Bill. What's y'all's answer to that? Oh, people are saying that George Wallace reformed, so it's okay. No, I mean, seriously, if you're going to look at, if we're going to start talking about this, the George Wallace Tunnel, should that be, why wouldn't you have gone after the George Wallace Tunnel naming before? Because there's nothing to topple, y'all. There's nothing to video. I want to point this out. You have, what I want to have is a legitimate discussion with fellow Mobilians of all colors, all whatever, all of us. I don't care. So we'll talk about that. What I feel is happening is much of this is being driven by outsiders. I pointed out to y'all this week, the Baldwin County protest they talked about that they were going to do in Bay Minette. Come on, y'all. If you were somebody in Baldwin County and wanted to get attention, I know there were some protests in Baldwin County, but I'm talking about the one that was organized that they said they're going to do. You wouldn't go to Bay Minette. With all deference, I love Bay Minette, but you wouldn't go to Bay Minette. You'd go to Gulf Shores, Orange Beach. You'd go to Spanish Fort, Fairhope, Daphne. You wouldn't go to Bay Minette. But that tells me somebody from outside here said, well, where's the county seat of that place in Alabama? Okay, it's this place, Bay Minette. Let's go there. Same way, this pamphlet out that they had put out for going to topple the Admiral Sims statue, which I don't know how you could topple it. I have a feeling it was bolted down. But they're going to topple the Admiral Sims statue. Actually called it the Admiral Ralph Sims statue. And like I talked about with Rob Holbert a second ago, and having no idea that they were organizing the march to leave from Ryan Park, named for Father Ryan, poet of the Confederacy. There are enough examples here that there's people from outside working this. And this is why I just point out, there's people from outside this area working this. I feel positive about having a discussion and a debate with fellow Mobilians. I think that is a good thing. But some outside group coming in and demanding something and saying they're going to do something, so therefore it take down the statue, I'm not. And that's what I consider that Bob rule. And people coming in. Let me do this. I'm going to run to a cut here. We talked to John Williams, Mobile City Councilman John Williams, this morning. He called in Mobile Mornings during this discussion. A little bit of that talk right now. Let's go to the cut. Cut one. Mobile City Councilman John Williams joining us now. Thanks for your time.
Hello, Sean. Good morning. It's a great day in Mobile, Alabama.
I know you say that. Is it? What's your feeling now? Okay, from your perspective as a member of the City Council, do you feel that the decision should have been made through the council, or do you think it was a decision for the executive branch?
Listen, I think it's absolutely a decision for the city council. This is one of those times when we had plenty of time to make that decision. We could have come in today and done it. I think the mayor knows that. He would not have got approval. At least I believe so. Or he would have consulted us. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm still on with you.
Yeah, you're still there. I'm listening.
Kind of quiet on me.
Yeah, no, I'm because I'm listening to you.
So well, you know, I think you saw the text I sent you. This is about history. One of your callers put it so well before. We can't forget history. If we do, we will repeat it. So I would say that those that are against certain statutes need to know that those are a strong reminder to everyone, and it gives us a focal point. It's much like Joe Langham and the LaFleur statues at Unity Park. That's a symbol of unity, a symbol that we can be better. We also need reminders of times when, let's say, you know, the paddle hanging on the wall. And I'm not saying that I'm one way or the other on a statue, whether it's good or bad, or if Sims was good or bad. I'm simply saying that by tearing down statues against state law, clearly against state law, is not fixing something.
Do you think in a pragmatic way, and the message from the mayor this morning, and if I go back through and read it here, but basically it says moving this statue will not change the past. It's about removing the potential distraction, so we may focus clearly on the future of our city. That conversation, that mission to create One Mobile continues today, worried about there being some kind of issue coming up on Sunday. Is there any fair argument to be made and say, well, this is a public safety issue, we're trying to avoid, what could happen?
Let's say that America was never founded on giving ground to radical factions. America was not founded on principles that said, when the going gets tough, get going.
All right, so a little bit of the conversation from this morning with Mobile City Councilman John Williams. Let's grab some calls here, and Derek is in Fairhope, and first up, hey, Derek.
Hey, all right, so I'm super confused.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, okay. Now, look, I don't know if nobody knows who Thomas Sowell is, having this whole argument, then they really shouldn't be in this argument, as well as Jason Riley. It seems that everybody is focusing on statues and slavery, but not really looking at policies. They're forgetting a very large, important part of Black history, and that's after the Civil War, during the Reconstruction, which was one of the most prolific times for Black people. The marriages were that of equal of whites, so was ownership, so was jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since 1965, the policies put in place is what has done this. This has been addressed many times. I watched Tony Brown. I don't know if you remember Tony Brown from way back in the day, man, had a program, and it was from 1984. And James Sowell is on this, talking about the same exact issues that we're talking about today. This is in 1984, okay? So we're still talking about these issues. And he addresses that the left doesn't want to move past post-racism. Because there's a market for it. It's an industry. And this is in 1984. Jason Riley had an interview with one of his books that 5 years ago that is still stating the same exact thing. It's not racism. It's the policies put in place that are affecting us. They just want government to get out of the way, as many of us, conservatives do. If we're going to say we're conservatives, lean on the side of libertarians, this government stop. Just stop what you're doing and let us do what we're trying to do. But nobody's addressing that. They're having to go all the way back, and they're skipping over this 80 years of prolific growth. They're missing the point on so many things that they got to skip over that, because that's not part of the argument. The argument they want is the statues. But they want to skip out everything, before or after that, where there was a higher education.
Yes, but the point is, a statue is obviously works on all levels, right? It's visible. It's a something that is tangible. Something that, if you remove it, you can say, "Look, there was the victory." You see what I'm saying? Versus
a
theoretical
there is no
discussion.
Victory,
do what?
You know this. I mean, why? If it's such a big deal now, Why was it not a big deal in 1964?
Why wasn't it a big deal 2 weeks ago?
5 years ago.
Yeah,
I know, exactly. 5 years ago. Why was this not an issue 5 years ago?
Well, 2017, I can argue. Well, in 2017, it was an issue when the legislature moved through with their Monuments Act, which, you know, no matter what they tell you when they say, oh, it's a Monuments Act to protect all monuments. Come on, legislature. They did it to protect Confederate memorials.
Cool, they did. It just comes down to where now this is an industry. It's being fueled. And, I mean, really, if anybody black is listening to this, you know, the people I just named, Thomas Sowell and James Riley, these are both black people that are highly educated. I mean, if you don't know who they are, you really need to Google them, and you need to hear about that black history that is not being taught. It's going all the way back to slavery. But there was a point, man, where it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And, I mean, you had the Jim Crow laws and all that.
Yeah, I don't call that beautiful.
No. What they're talking about is that you had to have, you know, these to stop the Jim Crow laws and everything. It was equal opportunity. That's what I mean by that, was the equal opportunity. And everything since then has just piled on a giant mess of a giant mess.
And I appreciate your call. There are some things I agree with what you're saying. There's some things that it doesn't live up to it. But yes, there are examples of what you're saying. There's also, I mean, we could talk about Tulsa, 1920 on that. David Mobile up next.
Hey, Sean, I would encourage Derek to go read the book Urban Emancipation by Michael Fitzgerald. It talks about Reconstruction era in Mobile. So I think he'll learn a lot from that book.
Okay, is that
because he's wrong on a lot of points? But I want to talk about the monument for a minute. I'm one of those people, I would be okay if it stayed up, because it's among the Confederate monuments, it's one of the more historically appropriate ones, because Raphael Sims was a Mobilian.
It's not like we're talking about
a Robert E. Lee statue in New Orleans, where he's never set foot in the city of New Orleans in his entire life.
Or if they put a Nathaniel Bedford Forrest up or something like that.
Exactly. But I'm also okay with them taking it down, too, because I understand the history of why it went up in the first place. And it did go up as a part of the Lost Cause movement, as a kind of a middle finger to the black community in Mobile. If you go back and you read some of the speeches and dedications during the dedication of that statue, it was clearly a part of the Lost Cause movement that was trying to rewrite history and trying to promote segregation and Jim Crow laws.
But it falls 120 years ago, whereas and there was somewhat of a movement there, as I've studied. But it's, you know, the stuff that's real obvious is the stuff in 1950s and 60s. That was the
correct.
When stuff went up there. The 120 year is a little murkier. You know, it's a little murkier to the motivation. But I don't think there's an argument to make to say what you're saying is not true. But it's not as clear and present as the ones that went up in the 50s and 60s.
That is true, and if you read that book that I just referenced, Urban Emancipation, you'll realize that that was right about the time that the Democrats were starting to come back into power after Reconstruction, after making deals with the black power brokers in the community, and they started to implement Jim Crow laws and laws that suppressed black rights and black freedom.
All right, David, appreciate the call. We're going to get everybody on. We do got to go to a news break in a second. G is in Baldwin County. Up next, hey, G.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Your take on this?
Well, I know that it's a very complicated subject, but one of the things I think that sometimes people forget about this is the life the man had after his service in the war. And if you study Sims and his family and about the things that they went through during the Reconstruction period, about being disbarred and shunned, the way that they were mistreated after the war during Reconstruction, and this man still came out of this a proud Mobilian, still did things for the city. He was revered and loved by that city. And the people, the slaves that this man had that worked in his home and around his home, they never left his home after the war was over. They still stayed with his family. And I'm not saying that...
Of course, that doesn't make it all right.
No, I mean, that does not make it right. But what I'm saying is that somewhere in the line of that, and it's just an opinion, but it makes me think that there must have been some degree of some type of getting along or some type of thing where these people were bound together in some type of way, because they could have just walked away at the end of the war, maybe. But the main thing I'm wanting to say is that this man did just come out of the war. He paid a price for his service in the Confederacy for the rest of his life. And that statue that's up is one of the least, it's one of the least controversially worded statues. It was, to me, it's just, if it was a statue of a man that was not from Mobile, or if it was somebody that had not been at the time a hero to the city for lots of reasons, I could see maybe taking it, or if it was even a pose of someone making a combative gesture or something like that. But it's just, for this to be done without any notice or any type of a heads up just seems really just spineless by the mayor and anyone else involved in that to just, and under the cover of darkness. That's when people do things at night and in the dark, so they don't want their identity known in the light. And that you can take that in any form you want.
There you go. Gee, appreciate your call. We'll come right back. Grab more phone calls at 343-0106, plus our online opinion poll question on fmtalk1065.com. Plus, we got you a chance to vote over on our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/fmtalk1065.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
Fred, are you getting down to the hardcore Mobilian definition? Because Fred says Admiral Sims was not from Mobile. No, he's from Maryland, moved to Josephine, and then lived in Mobile. So, well, he's living in Mobile. He's a Mobilian, right? I think he died in Point Clear. Wasn't that right? You know, you're a good sailor back then. You get around. You do a little Josephine, do a little Mobile, do a little Point Clear. You don't have that bayway traffic and all those kind of issues. All right, to the phones at 343-0106 and Jack in Spanish Fort up next. Hey, Jack.
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing fine.
Good. So what you think here? What's your take on it?
Okay, I heard this news just a little while ago, so I don't have the details of it, but a number of things really do concern me. Number one, doing it in the dead of night. I mean, come on. If you're going to make a decision, put that out there in the sunshine. It's okay. You know, make your decisions based on discourse, based on what you believe, and don't be afraid to let those words get out there. Don't hesitate. I also feel as though there's an element of this. It's location close to Mardi Gras Park. I just have this feeling that there's concern that, okay, the statue is in close proximity to Mardi Gras Park. Obviously, things are meeting at Mardi Gras Park, and I guess they can go forward from there. I'm a retired Navy guy, and I hold a lot of naval officers in high regard. Because of the duty they do, the things they do. So for me, Raphael Sims was a positive thing from his historical standpoint. I really am disappointed that it was removed. However, I've still got my ears open, and somebody needs to explain it to me, because so far I haven't heard the words of the logic behind this.
There we go. Jack, I appreciate your call. Leaves the line open, and we'll come right back to the phones next at 343-0106. Which, by the way, he's speaking about Mardi Gras Park. And what about the Joe Kane statue? Is that one going to be okay? Chief Slack? Is that going to be okay?